Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
The chair is against the wall. You know, you think that's humorous, perhaps. I don't know. But one thing is for sure, we're definitely in occupied territory. I'm Doug Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It's Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023. Have a lot of information to get into. We are a captured operation. I've said this for a number of years now. America has been captured by the globalists, unelected globalists. The people in power are the puppets of the unelected globalists. And we see this in a number of areas. Number one, breaking news today. You're going to hear on the news, on the mainstream media, that a white supremacist took a U-Haul and rammed the gate to the White House. Well, when you look at the photographs, it's an empty U-Haul. Next to the empty U-Haul is a Nazi flag. Oh, how convenient. Well, why don't you just put, "Hey, idiots," on there? Take a look at this. We don't think that you're smart enough to really understand this is a false flag, but even better. Even better, the guy driving the U-Haul was not white, nor was he a supremacist, or is he a supremacist? His name is Sayyid Varsith Kandula. Don't ask me where the hell he's from, but I know it ain't here. He intentionally crashed the U-Haul truck into the White House security gate Monday night, last night. Investigation early this morning. Revolver.news is reporting on, or National File, I'm sorry, .com.
He was going to kidnap the president.
Yeah. Here are his charges. Just so I'm getting this right here. Let's see here. Okay. He was arrested and charged with assault with a deadly weapon. That's the U-Haul. It's a deadly weapon. Oh. Reckless operation of a motor vehicle. You think? Was it reckless or was it? That's kind of a negligent discharge. No. There are no negligent discharges. Or accidental discharges. I'm sorry. There are negligent discharges. Okay. Threatening to kill, kidnap, inflict harm on a president, vice president, or family member. Destruction of federal property and trespassing. Got to throw that trespassing in there. But no further information is available at this time, except for the U-Haul and the Nazi flag next to it. Got to throw that in there. Look, folks, we are being played. Every single one of us are being played. Whether you have come to that realization, I hope if you're watching this, you have, or not. And it's just us. There's no one coming to help us. Not a soul. We have allowed this to happen. And you might say, "Well, I didn't allow this to happen. I didn't." No, you know what? By not speaking up, by not standing up, by being on YouTube, by visiting Target, by being okay with bathrooms that cater to faggots, and transsexuals, and by visiting doctors who perform, you know, surgical mutilation. We're all part of this. We're all supporting this perverse system. Stop it.
But he had duct tape, too. A Nazi flag and duct tape.
He had duct tape?
Is yeah.
Is it D-U-C-K tape or D-U-C-T tape?
D-U-C-T.
Is he going to fix the ducks in the White House? I think he should have ducks and some duct tape.
He was going to capture everyone.
Honest to goodness. Yeah, as if that's going to work, right? Look, this is purely entertainment. This is like watching a bad movie. Okay. Last week, I wanted to really get into this. Over the weekend, I put myself through hell. My wife, you know, I was in my office, and she came in my office, and she said, "What happened to you?" I said, "What do you mean, what happened to me?" She said, "You look like you got beat up." I said, "Well, I was throwing myself against a wall." "Why?" "Well, I was reading the Durham report, 306 pages. She said, "Why?" And I said, I didn't have a good answer for her because I knew how I said,
"I have a good question for you."
"You know, why?"
"I have a question for you. I don't know."
"What?"
"This is a dumb question."
"No, there are no dumb questions." Well, what's a woman? Okay.
Like the flag and the duct tape and stuff was found.
Yeah.
Do they usually take things out and just lay them on the ground as evidence? Or do they bag it?
You know, the honest answer to that, seriously, it depends on jurisdiction, okay, departments, how they handle the evidence. Generally speaking, no. Okay, no. Because there are press there. Okay, so I'm not going to give you any examples. Okay, I'm just not going to. Because the examples I'm thinking of are just not suitable for this program.
See my point of the question.
I do. However, okay, if they want to make a point to the media, yeah, they're going to take this out and lay it out real nice, make sure there are no ruffles in the flag and people. I'm surprised they didn't duct tape that to the side of the van. It's and then we have satellite phones being handed out to the senators, not the House of Representatives, but the senators. And the first thing I thought of when I heard this, and Lord, forgive me for thinking about this, is Fetterman trying to operate a satellite phone? I don't know, Eric the Tech. Can you see? But why?
His phone has buttons. Hey, you guys. His phone has buttons.
Okay. What's this thing? It's an antenna. But in all seriousness, why?
No, don't stick it there, John.
Ooh. And can I put this on vibrate?
Stinky satellite phone.
Okay, so you have the senators, 100 people. Out of the entire 535.
Don't eat the battery.
Yeah, lick it right there. Why? Why the 100 people? Okay, so they must be expecting some disruption in cellular activity, obviously, the cell network. I know Hal Turner talked about this yesterday.
Lithium will cure him.
Yeah, he's going to need a hell of a lot more than lithium.
I'm done. Continue.
All right. People love it when you comment. And I got one commenter who says, "I wish he just would just be quiet."
Actually, the lithium would cure all of them. They should all try it.
I tell you what, 100 straws in a crushed up lithium. I don't know.
The amount of diesel it takes to mine that lithium.
That's the goodness. Look at this. What's this wire for? Yeah, okay. There's something going on here, and it's none of this is good. None of this is good. And when I heard about this, I thought about this. 60, did you hear about this? 60,000 pounds of ammonium nitrate being shipped by rail, going from point A to point B. And we got to point B, and it sat there for a while. They went to get this ammonium nitrate, and they said, whoops, it's gone. 60,000 pounds. Now,
oops. Now there's no room in the studio.
That's just what I need. Getting swatted today. Yeah. Thanks. Now you know here's a, and then they come up with this brilliant idea. I think this is Pete Buttigieg's idea. Maybe it just fell out during the travel. Okay. That's how you're going to handle 60,000 pounds of ammonium nitrate. Is we'll check on it when we get there, and or a couple, you know, week or two after we get there. Come on. Where to go? Now, as an explosive, for those who don't know, that was the agent that was used, reportedly, allegedly used at the Murrah building in 1995. Now, I worked with Jana Davis and investigated the blast at the Murrah building. And I've got to tell you this, I don't agree with the assessments now. I looked John Doe 2 in the eyeballs in Boston, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston. And I've got to tell you, it was like looking at the devil himself. One day I'll tell you about the exploits. I know he was there. I know he was part of it. I don't know to what extent he was used. I believe he worked for the government. But I'll tell you what, looking at his eyes, it was something. All right. I understand you're missing, we are missing 60,000 pounds of explosives. Homegrown explosives. You've got a U-Haul truck crashing into the barricade at the White House with a Nazi flag. Do you think we're getting set up for something? And then you've got 100 senators getting satellite phones. Oh, and to those people who say, well, satellite phones, they don't work, you know. Okay. That's why they gave them out to the senators, because they don't work. All right. But back to the Durham report.
If they've got them.
Yeah.
That means we should probably have them.
We should probably have them. That's right.
Because that's an indication that that communication won't be taken down.
Exactly. Thank you very much. I need help today. I really do.
Unless they have their own satellite up there, which is a good chance.
Well, that's a very good chance. Who knows? I mean, there's so much clutter up there. How much they got up there? I mean, you know, you could probably shoot a bullet and hit something up there. I mean, not... I'm, you know what I mean.
Probably just part of a Chinese deal.
Man.
Because you know they got tons of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they can bounce off the weather balloons from China. Never mind. That's a bad joke. But the Durham report represents the total collapse of the U.S. justice system. If you go to HagmanPI.com, that's where you're going to find all of the information. HagmanPI.com. I don't want to seem, believe me, I don't want to seem flippant about any of this. I think we are in more trouble now than we have been ever before. We are awaiting our I'm trying to think of the last nuclear, the Cuban Missile Crisis, for example. I would say that America is about ready to go through a Cuban Missile Crisis event, perhaps even fulfilling that event. That's where we are right now, I believe. I believe that we are going to see some things take place in the next several weeks, months, and maybe, possibly, we might have a year that will change our lives forever. The digital currency, the war that is coming, the potential for a nuclear power plant in Ukraine to hit critical mass because of the fighting in Ukraine. And this would be on the Ukrainians as opposed to the Russians. The digital prisons that we all are being faced with right now. I was very, very honored to be on with the conference call with Reggie Littlejohn, Frank Gaffney, and others. Reggie Littlejohn will be on at some point to talk about the Sovereignty Coalition that hopefully I'll be a part of, working the fight against the World Health Organization, the taking away of our rights and other things. But again, I want to get back to the Durham report. Devin Nunes, who I'm not really a fan of Devin Nunes. I'm not a fan of anybody, okay, really. I don't like most people. But, sorry about
that. You don't say.
Yeah. Eric knows. I want you to watch this video clip from Devin Nunes because he uses my words. I did play part of this last week, or perhaps a different one, I think, from Newsmax last week. But this is a longer version. And understand the breadth of this issue that we are having. And I remember many people putting their faith in Durham. Now, initially, when he was appointed, I thought there was a chance, a good chance, that he could very well get to the bottom of things. Obviously, all he did was stroke us. He said, here we have a whole bunch of problems. We have a whole bunch of criminality. But really, you know, we really can't arrest anyone. We can't charge anyone. We can't bring them to justice. Why? Because there is no justice. But watch Devin Nunes talk about this. Understand the gravity of this situation. This is one branch, really two branches of the government, the judicial branch and the executive branch, to a lesser extent. But the executive branch would be over the judicial branch to the extent that they would provide some direction, depending on the situation. But listen to what Devin Nunes has to say. Here it is.
Joining me right now with reaction is the truth teller. This bombshell is going to be here, our topic, for former House Intelligence Committee Chairman, current Trump Media CEO, Devin Nunes. Devin, great to see you. Thanks very much for being here.
Great to be with you, Maria.
Your assessment of the Durham report.
I think overall, this is a really sad day for America because what it represents is the total collapse of the justice system. A lot of people see this as, oh, FBI, intelligence agencies. No, no, no. This represents the entire collapse of the justice system. And it really, the Durham report reads like the tombstone for the justice system. And it would say something simple like, here lies the justice system, the Justice Department, and we knew there was criminality and we couldn't do anything about it. That's really what the Durham report says. There's a lot of great information in there, but nothing's been done.
Well, why? I mean, why is there no accountability after all of these years? You knew it from day one. You came out with the Nunes report back in 2018 and walked us through how this was a made-up story from the Clinton campaign. And yet, look at where they are now. All of these people who were complicit in pushing this lie, whether it's Peter Strzok, John Brennan, James Comey, they've got big jobs at universities and they're writing books and they're on MSNBC and CNN as national security experts.
Yeah, so the way you have to look at this, it's even bigger than that and all of those bad, evil characters. What this is really about, it's about the Justice Department collapsing. It's also about the judicial branch of government collapsing and the fake news media collapsing. Now, look, Maria, a lot of this we talked about on your show for the last 6 years. Your viewers understand that. But I think you have to take a global view of what the repercussions really are here. Because, you know, the judicial branch, I just mentioned the justice system, how that's completely broke down. I mean, they knew about it, couldn't do anything about it. But how about the judges? Let's just take, there's three easy examples with the judges. You had the FISA court. They did absolutely nothing. The FISA court could have stepped in. They knew right away when I knew. They knew in 2017. And then for sure they knew in 18 when we notified them. Did they do anything? No, they covered it up. You also had the activity of federal judges as it related to General Flynn. Then fast forward and you got the Mar-a-Lago raid where you have a judge sign a FISA warrant or a search warrant.
Yeah. Great point. Let's take a short break and continue. I'm with former House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes. We'll be right back. Not only did they pursue these FISA warrants against Trump officials, they were ignoring anything regarding Hillary Clinton, right?
Exactly. And that's why most Americans are saying, how can this happen? How can this happen in the United States of America? Now, as you know, I spent a lot of time abroad. I made a lot of friends overseas. And I have gotten so many calls after this Durham report from people who are saying, what in the hell is going on in the United States? How can you guys have a justice system like this? I think a lot of people were shocked. A lot of them knew me. A lot of them knew that I was telling the truth. But when you see Durham go through this exhaustive three-year process and actually come forth with all of this information, that in any normal world, there were so many crimes committed here. And remember, don't forget that you had Obama. You asked me, what did Obama know about this? Well, this was a stunt by the Hillary Clinton campaign in 16. It failed miserably because Donald Trump won overwhelmingly.
Right.
Then what happened? Obama was directly involved because he's the one that went back right after the election in 2016. He got all the intelligence agencies involved and they leaked out to the fake news media that, oh, the Russians must have done something and they were trying to help Trump. Obama did that, but Obama knew. We now know from Durham, Obama knew and his team knew August of 16.
All right, you people who have followed me for a while know that I've often spoken about that last, as Obama was leaving the White House, Obama, Susan Rice, I think Victoria Nuland might have been there, and others. Susan Rice, I think, was the one who sent them the email to herself that they had a meeting, that everything that they had done properly. Do you remember that? That was a CYA email. The reason I bring that up is because all roads lead to Obama. Now, that doesn't mean on a global level. That means on a mid-management level, all roads lead to Obama and the people around Obama. Remember Potato Joe and Knee Pads Harris. Their regime is the third term of Obama, of Harris, even though Harris flew the coup, supposedly. Nuland, who's directing the Ukrainian war. Biden, who's knee-deep in the corruption in Ukraine, the entire Biden family, the crime syndicate. This is all related. It's all connected. So when you hear about war, just to bring this together, when you hear about things that are happening in Ukraine and about us sending another $35.7 million of armaments to Ukraine, and you hear about the potential for a nuclear power plant to reach critical mass and contaminate not just the area, but in theory, the entire planet and kill people in great numbers. All of this is by design. This, just like the plandemic that took place. And I want to speak to the pandemic for a moment because, again, I've had the honor, and I mean honor, to talk with people, which is, this is more than just you and me talking, okay, or you listening to what I'm saying. What I am attempting to do is make a difference, because if we don't make a difference now, in the ways that we can make a difference, I promise you, and take this to the bank, there will be bloodshed. There will be people on the streets. There will be mass death. There will be. It's unavoidable. And I mean that, and it breaks my heart when I look at my grandkids, when I look at the children who will never know growing up the ability to swing on a swing, to skin their knees, to play in the playground, to have a normal life. Understand, this is what's at stake. This Durham report is all this is just the dog and pony show that does reflect the end of justice as we know it. It is just us as Gerald Saleny says, good friend of the program, friend of mine, Gerald Saleny, a great man. Just us. That's all it is. Part of this as well, I want to show you a thread on Twitter. Again, I'm not really convinced, nor am I a fan necessarily of Twitter, but I want to show you a thread. This is about the Department of Homeland Security. They're captured as well. They're playing a specific part in the takedown of the United States. That's what this is about. You've got the destruction of America by a group of people. The Department of Homeland Security made or created because of 9/11, which was, to the extent that there were people facilitating this inside the federal government and inside different agencies, as well as other governments, this was an inside job to that extent. I truly believe that. So the Department of Homeland Security, this outgrowth of that incident, they are further destroying the country by paying the United Nations International Organization for Migration for an immigration study. They're also, and most importantly, they're in charge of where the refugees and these illegal aliens get relocated to on a global scale. Please look at your screen if you're watching this. And please, in the show notes, go to HagmanPI.com, click on the episode title for today's show. All of these will be in there. But you can see that this is all part of the UN Agenda 2030. And if you scroll down slowly, sir, you can see the evidence that is furnished that this is part of the agenda. Now, this is a long thread. If you can scroll down even more, I think there's a second part or a third part to this. Laura Logan, by the way, she is really into this as well. And she's been on this show. And having spoken to her, she understands. And she has reported the same thing, that this is all part of this agenda to replace the white Anglo-Saxon population in America. And Biden is part of it. You can see, you can find clips of Biden boasting that the white person in America will be the minority, or is the minority, for the first time ever. And that's something that I don't believe one should be proud of. Now, I mean, that to me is racist in and of itself. But number two in this, migration and the 2030 agenda has the complete plan laid out. It appears that we are in the implementation stage. Folks, I would urge you to read the documents, the associated documents to this. This is not something that just happened. This was well planned. And I'll stop there in the interest of time. But understand the people that are coming into this country. I started off with that clip from Red Dawn. The people coming into this country are the very ones who will be into the takedown of our infrastructure. That's by design. The very people, these are not families, all of them. They're not children, all of them. There are some, and many are being used as are being trafficked. Many are being used for organ harvesting. You've got no idea how bad this is. One of the things that we are working on, and I don't know if this is, I'm working on this just to let you know. Craig Sawyer is a fabulous, and I mean, he's made a big difference in many people's lives. Craig Sawyer vets the number 4 childrescue.org. He has made a huge difference in many people's lives. I'm proud to work with him. I'm proud to work with shatterops.org. And we've made a difference in people's lives. And I received an email once saying you can't possibly think you're making a difference because there's too many. But like that fable, like that story of the child on the beach throwing these shellfish back in, and the older man coming to the boy and saying, "Hey, you know what? You can't save them all." And the boy looks up and says, "But I saved that one. Makes a difference to that one." That's where we're at today. I want you to think about that. And one of the other aspects I'm working on. Oh, and one of the things, too, about this, and this might seem like a non sequitur, but it is. We're fixing on getting hit by something very nasty. I'm telling you right now, when I've talked to different people, and I've been in communication over the last, really, 4 days with people, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's people and others like that. The globalists are planning something very bad. And I'm very sad to say this. The one person who I believe was able to solve the spike protein infection of the spike protein was poisoned. Rashid Batar passed away last week. And he's featured on your screen right there next to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. I don't know what to say, except that he was on CNN last week. He didn't look too good. And shortly thereafter, he passed away. I believe he was poisoned. And I believe it was perhaps and most likely from contact or aerosol. Here's the sad fact. People are being taken out. People are being taken out. And if you think this is a game, this is not a game. There's some very serious things taking place right now. And very serious people being threatened or being hurt. And some being killed. Many are being threatened. I know. I've spoken to people who have been threatened. I've spoken to two this weekend alone who have been threatened. That's made them even more determined to get the truth out. One of the things that we are working on right now, and you're going to be hearing more about this, is the WHO. You know about this, big WHO takeover, the World Health Organization, not the band, but the World Health Organization takeover. I have three video clips that I really, they're not long, but they encapsulate something. They encapsulate what is taking place right now. You see, the World Health Organization, well, the United States and other countries, about 194 other countries, are about to cede their national sovereignty over to the World Health Organization for, and I want to make sure this is clear, public health emergencies of global concern, including and especially, are you ready for this? Infodemics. Infodemics. What in the hell is that? And if your doctor, if your nurse, if your healthcare practitioner, if your hospital administrator doesn't know anything about this, make sure you educate them about this. This is serious. We are on a time crunch too. These three segments, this is part of a webinar done. Children's Health Defense, it's featured there. The link will be in the program description box. This is, I think, an hour plus long, an hour and a half long. I think the total segments I have are probably 8 minutes at best. And there are two different people, Attorney Phil Cruz and then James Rogalski. James Rogalski has got this fantastic Substack page. Again, link will be in the program description box, HagmanPI.com. But please watch segment one. This kind of lays the groundwork. Segment two gets into a little bit more detail. And then segment three is specific to the U.S., but we all have to do something. We all have, and we all can do something, because if we don't, the problem is this: there will be bloodshed. There will be heads on spikes. There will be people hanging from trees, lampposts. There will be shots fired. I'm not advocating this. I'm just stating a fact. Others, there will be people that will be shot up with these toxic concoctions and made even more stupid through the use of fluoride and other things. Please, folks, do not take this lightly. Let's go to segment one from the source of video. This will be under the section titled WHO at HagmanPI.com.
If they have come to the conclusion that maybe a vaccine would have detrimental effects. So bottom line, it will be impossible for our governments in the future to protect their own citizens, us, the citizens, against experimental drugs, against harmful and destructive restriction, and that includes as well the economy. And of course, things like that, here we see that already end of 2022, WHO's general director called the achievement of 70% coverage of vaccine a global imperative. So when it was global imperative in the past, you can only imagine what it will be in the future. And I have to shorten due to the time, but we will look at state-directed economies like in communism, because the core capacities shall be strengthened, and also under the title of equity. Will there be individual country solutions possible like Sweden? No, that will be made impossible. So no chance for the governments to go against WHO's harmful leadership. Now and then, for the people on the lowest level, we will have no protection when it comes to human rights, even if this provision should be reintroduced, which I don't think, it is still a draft, of course. What we see, the mind, we see the spirit, how a low respect of these bureaucrats is with respect to the most important achievements of humanity, which is the human rights, human dignity, and fundamental freedom, and including as well the code, the Nuremberg Code, the Nuremberg Codex of free informed consent for every medical treatment, in particular for experiments. Yes, that's the situation. So we will lose our fundamental rights during fake times. It will be a loss of medical self-determination, of any self-determination, among others, the medical. And we will have to see and bear constant status of fear and of manipulation. And we will be exposed to harmful experimental products, loss of personal health, loss of economic basis, and split of society. So literally, we will lose the protection against abuse of powers that was first introduced as a concept after or thanks to the French Revolution in 1789. So when it comes to the protection of the people, we will go back to a legal situation that was abolished by a revolution over 240 years ago. That's the situation, and the world will be under control of just very few bureaucrats, each with total protection of diplomatic immunity. So no protection against abuse of powers whatsoever. That comes very close to a slavery agreement. And all this with a WHO operating outside of any legal control. Here with a picture on the right-hand side, WHO protected by an immunity agreement with the Swiss Federation of the year 1948. And it is obvious that this immunity agreement was granted, of course, under the condition that WHO would rightfully pursue its own promises that it gave in Article 1 of the WHO Constitution, and that is to protect and preserve people's health, not to harm it. And today...
There you go. That was Attorney Philip Cruz. Now, this was a webinar that took place on May 19th, just 4 days ago. Philip Cruz is going to talk now a little bit more specifically. This is about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. I think, 2 minutes, 54 seconds more here. Or did we cover that? We didn't cover that yet. Okay. This is from the 1 hour, 30 minute mark to 1 hour, 32 minute mark. Again, go to HagmanPI.com, click on the source video, watch the entire thing. But this is segment two, and then segment three, we'll wrap this up. But here's segment two.
Hi, this is James Roguski,
and I am going to
give you an overview of a new page that I've launched that will outline just some of the activism of which I am aware that is going on around the world in opposition to the WHO, to the proposed pandemic treaty that is currently being negotiated in secret, as well as the proposed amendments to the international health regulations, which are also being negotiated primarily in secret, even more so than the treaty, as well as something that most people are not aware of, the fact that amendments to the international health regulations were adopted last year, and we only have 6 months left by the end of November 2023 to reject those amendments. Every nation still does have the authority to just write a letter to the WHO and reject the amendments that were adopted last year. So I'm going to share my screen and give you as much information as I can in a short period of time and encourage you to go to worldwide.exitthewho.com, which is where you can find quite a lot of information. And my hope is that everyone would be free to give me a phone call at 310-619-3055. If you know of any activism that's going on around the world against the WHO that would need to be added to this list of actions that are currently going on. So okay, alphabetically, I'm going to start in Australia.
And you keep that up there. I'll tell you this. Okay, the Hagman Report is part of an initiative under the United States, okay? And more about that later. But I just want to assure everyone listening and watching that we are a part of this. And now he's going to go country by country, but we're going to skip some countries and go to the United States. But go ahead and finish with this, because he does say a few things that apply to all countries, and then we'll skip to the U.S. Go ahead.
Now, the way I've set this up is exit.
Did I screw you up there? Okay. Are we cooked on that video? All right. The importance of this cannot be understated. The amendments that the Biden-Harris regime and the unelected bureaucrats in this particular regime are putting us as slaves to the World Health Organization. At the very same time, the World Health Organization, with the facilitation of groups, of federal groups, like in the United States, for example, like the National Institute of Health, NAIAD, even though Fauci is not really a part of it any longer, he still is a part of it. I'll just kind of wink, wink, nod, nod there. And some other NGOs, including the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and other foundations, they are creating the CDC, for example, the Center for Disease Creation. They're creating these hybrids. Okay, we're going to try this one more time. Go ahead.
The primary domain. And so you can type in the subdomain Australia 1234. And hopefully we'll have even more than that as time goes on. And that will take you to information that is going on in Australia. So I've been working with some wonderful folks down under, and they have put together AustraliaExitsTheWho.com. They have many, many resources on their page. They have a number of videos, and they've started a petition, an official government petition, to require their parliament to discuss the amendments that were adopted last year but have not yet been discussed in parliament in any way, shape, or form. And there's, like I said earlier, there are 6 months left to go. So at the moment, they've already gotten 5,815 signatures on that petition. Australia3.exitthewho is an article that I wrote back in February. And
all right. There he is telling you. That's James Rogalski. And again, the link will be at HagmanPI.com in this episode description. He's telling you, whatever country you're in, there are options for you to click on and register your dissent. And this is important we do this. Otherwise, we're going to see worldwide bloodshed. I guarantee you this. Now, this next segment deals with the United States and deals with the last, in my view, the last stop on this train of insanity. Listen to what James has to say here. This clip is 5 minutes and 2 seconds. Here it is.
This first button is time sensitive, and I strongly encourage people to go to silence equals consent here in the United States. Again, I encourage people to record their own video. But the reason for this is that the Office of Global Affairs at the Department of Health and Human Services, there's a deadline of June 9th for people to submit a request to be able to speak at their listening session and actually tell our delegates from the United States what you feel about the proposed amendments. And there is a second event, they call it a listening session for the pandemic treaty. That's a little bit later. The deadline for that is June 23rd. So I strongly encourage people to take that action and submit your request. You'll maybe get a chance to speak, but they also have the opportunity for written comments. U.S. number one, Exit the Who, takes you to a very similar system where you can send an email to every member of Congress and the Senate. When you click on Take Action Now, you can fill in your basic information, and then you click on Submit, and it will show you the preformed letter, and send it to every member of Congress, as well as it will list their phone numbers if you want to give them a call in addition to sending them an email. U.S. number two, yet again, thank you very much, Dr. Rima Labo and the folks at Prevent Genocide 2030.
This Can you pause that for a second?
A separate system.
I do hope to have Dr. Rima Labo on this program here in a week or two, as well as Regina, as I mentioned before, Regina Little John and some others. He's going to mention the Sovereignty Coalition. We're part of that. So just saying, go ahead.
With a slightly different email that you can send very specifically and targeted to your congressperson and your senators. U.S. number three takes you to an action by Stand for Health Freedom. And their approach to it is that H.R. 79, which is a bill put forth by Representative Andy Biggs in Arizona, is stuck in committee. And they have a system whereby you can send an email to all of the congressional representatives that are on the committee that is holding up the H.R. 79, which is the WHO Withdrawal Act. U.S. number four is, again, a very similar email system that you can use to send an email about H.R. 79 and H.R. 343, which would defund the WHO, and Senate Bill 444, which would make the Senate treat any treaty as a treaty. And this is from the John Birch Society. U.S. number five is from our friends at the AmericanSovereignty.org movement. And again, you can take action, put your information in. They've already gotten 306,000 people to participate. Just today, they had a press conference with, I think, 21 different congresspeople who are supporting exiting the WHO. And last but not least, on US6.exitthewho is the Children's Health Defense. Stop the WHO power grab. And so if you scroll down the page, you can click the Take Action button, or you can keep on reading and realize that you can show your support by signing the petition in support of the Health Freedom Bill of Rights. And so I encourage everyone to fill that form out, take action, and realize that what we are doing here and what we all need to do around the world is to defend the rights that have been abused for the last almost 4 years now. And so there's another link here that have a lot of graphics that you can share on social media. I've got links to many of our allies around the world. Shout out to all of the folks, Meryl Nass, David Bell, Catherine Austin Fitz, Sylvia Barrett, and Philippe Cruz, along with many, many other people. And be aware that there is a movement coming forward to sue the WHO, in addition to all of the many things that I've been doing. StopTheWho.com, ScrewTheWho.com, ExitTheWho.com, RejectDigitalEnslavement.com, which I think is the biggest concern of all. Take action and speak your mind on silence equals consent, and StopTheGlobalAgenda.com. And so in summary, I know that was a lot of information, overwhelming, but the whole point is around the world, people are waking up. They know what is going on with the WHO, and I've tried to make it as easy as I possibly can. If you simply go to worldwide.exitthewho.com, all of this information is available, and I'm certain that I missed something. So if you know of something or somebody somewhere in the world that is taking action against the WHO, Give me a phone call at 310-619-3055.
Please, folks, do that. Make that phone call. Even more importantly, find your country. Make your voices heard. I was part of that press. Conference some time ago, last week, and I will tell you this: these people are beginning to pay attention. Do I have great hopes for it? I really don't. But if we don't do something now, I'm going to tell you right now, we will become prisoners in our own cities. We will become prisoners by our own devices. And I mean that in a literal sense. Two last things. Expect mid-level banks to fail. I'm going to tell you this right now. We've got a situation right now where many regional banks throughout the United States will collapse this year. Now, this is already almost June. We're, 8 days away from June. And we are looking now at perhaps a good number of the regional banks collapsing. This is going to usher in, through the wizardry, and I mean that again literally, wizardry and witchcraft of the Fed, of the people who are elected and serve us to enslave us. And the result from that will be a surveillance panopticon. Everything we do will be under surveillance. Now, I'm not trying to overstate this. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you a fact. Is your money safe in the bank? My answer to you would be no, it's not. You give your money to a bank or deposit it to a bank, you're giving that bank the ability to use your money. That's not your money anymore. Sorry to tell you that. And if you're not old enough to remember, perhaps your parents or grandparents talking about the Great Recession, where did they put their money? Certainly not in banks. So what's the end game objective here? In this 1 minute video clip, let me show you. This has already begun in different cities in Europe. It's coming here. These are these 15-minute convenient cities. Have you seen this yet? I'm sure you've heard about this. Folks, we must resist this at all costs. When ready, go ahead and play that clip.
A 15-minute city mean basically a neighborhood where you can reach everything you need within a 15-minute foot walk, a doctor, grocery store, and so forth. However, if you now fancy another store and it does not happen to be in your neighborhood, you won't be going to that store anymore. Total control is what we're talking about. Once they decide you're no longer allowed to leave your 15-minute immediate area, they don't have to fence it in or anything. It will be done via digital ID.
With a social credit system, kind of something like that. Maintaining compliance.
Yes. And there's pilot projects already going on in Bologna. It's called the Bologna wallet. And in Vienna, it's called the Vienna token. It's voluntary for now. And it's only pretty much enticing people to get some ticket for a little less or something like that, to go to theater, something like that. But soon there will be a time you don't have a choice anymore. You have to have this digital green certificate, this QR code, whatever. And then they will tell you where you can go, what you can do, and what you can and cannot do.
There's more, of course, at that link. I'll put the link to that clip in the program description box, and from there you can follow the bouncing ball to the longer video. Here's the bottom line. I don't have any good news for you. Well, the good news I do have: God is in control. God is in control. That's the good news. However, we must fight with every fiber of our being. We must fight. If we don't fight now and fight through the processes laid before us by, in the United States anyway, by our Constitution, in other countries, by their Charter of Rights or whatever, there will be bloodshed. Folks, there's other than the fact that God's in control, there's no good news. But it's up to us to make the changes. I'll be back tomorrow with additional news, insights, information. May God bless each and every one of you. Eric the Tech, thank you so much. God bless you. And folks, God bless each and every one of you.